When I was preparing for ordination, about 30 years ago, I think, I spent what was known as an Anglican year at the Virginia Seminary in Alexandria. And in order to gain some parish and liturgical experience, I assisted with Sunday services at the parish of St. Dunstan's in Bethesda, Maryland. One of my duties was to give the children's homily at the family service almost every Sunday. So Saturday afternoons would often find me in the children's education section of the seminary library, desperately looking for inspiration for something to say that would hold a child's attention even for a few minutes. Some of the most useful resources I found were books with object lessons for children, which would often send me off to a nearby mall in search of objects, like ping pong balls or Tootsie Rolls or fishing line. Anything that might help illustrate biblical principles and teachings and open a child's eyes to the love of God and the wonder of creation. Although the children of St. Dunstan's, like all children, were wonderful, it was during this period that I received confirmation of something that I had long suspected, and that was that if I was called to a teaching ministry at all, it was with adults. So it is with a bit of trepidation that I have brought some objects with me this morning. The first of these are some small stones, five of them, stones of various sizes and shapes and colors and textures. And they came from a place called St. Columba's Bay on the Isle of Iona, off the western coast of Scotland, a place that I visited some 15 years ago as part of a Celtic pilgrimage. The other object that I brought is my new iPod. Actually, it's my first iPod. You see, I enjoy walking with my dog in Umstead Park. And on these walks, I see a lot of runners and cyclists listening to their iPods. So I thought it was time for me to get one too. Besides, I felt like I was missing out on something important without the ability to listen to the music I like when I like, and to listen to podcasts of my favorite radio programs. So I bought an iPod and a few accessories, and I downloaded iTunes, and I was almost ready to assemble my library when I came to the realization that I don't really want to listen to my iPod while I walk. I want to be present in the moment. I want to listen to the birds. I want to hear the cardinals singing to each other and the woodpeckers pecking at the trees. And I want to hear the silence as I did yesterday when it is too hot, even for a bird to sing. I will save the iPod for other occasions like airplane trips and waiting rooms. But in this place, in this park, it would be in the way. It would only be a reminder of the busyness and distractions of my life. Now back to Columba and the stones. Columba was a 6th century Irish monk who, the story has it, set off on a voyage with 12 companions under not altogether happy circumstances and without any clear idea of where they were going. And finally they reached Iona and they came to shore at the bay that has come to be known as St. Columba's Bay. and Iona was to become one of the greatest missionary centers of the Celtic Church. Today, it is the headquarters of an ecumenical community of men and women from different walks of life who are committed to seeking new ways of living out the gospel in the world through deep involvement with the world's troubles, particularly with the poor and the marginalized. People come to Iona from all over the world to learn about Celtic spirituality and to experience worship as it is understood and practiced by the community, a community that believes that worship is everything we are and everything we do, both inside and outside the church. Now, one of the first things that I learned on this pilgrimage about Celtic spirituality was something that became especially real to me during the few days that I spent on the Isle of Iona, and it was the concept of thin places. There is a Celtic saying that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in the thin places, that distance is even smaller. According to Celtic spirituality, a thin place is where the veil between heaven and earth, between the seen and the unseen, the veil that separates this world and the next and the material world from the realm of the divine, this veil becomes so thin and so permeable and so translucent that we can glimpse the glory of God. These five little stones remind me of St. Columba's Bay and of Iona, and also of the thin places I've experienced in my life since. Like the day after Christmas last year, when the snow turned the woods into a magical place, a wonderland of nothing but white against a clear blue sky. An experience that took me to a place inside myself that I've never experienced before or since, but to which I can return. I can return in my imagination and in my memory, and often that is enough to draw me back to the presence of God and see me through hard times. Experiencing thin places sometimes involves traveling to places of unusual natural beauty and grandeur. Sometimes it involves places that are remote or even treacherous, places that make us aware of our weakness and our vulnerability. Often thin places are landscapes closer to home, though. A peaceful garden, some nearby woods, a lake at sunset. Places where we experience a heightened sense of the holy and feel at one with God and the world around us. But thin places really don't need to be literal places at all. They may be times and events like the birth of a child. They may be relationships or perhaps just rest and silence. All of these can be thin places. For many of us, the community of St. Paul's is a thin place. The music, the sacraments, the fellowship, the caring for one another, all are experiences of thin places in which something happens that enables us to glimpse the other side of the veil between heaven and earth. The Gospels speak of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven And they tell us that Jesus used parables to teach his followers that the kingdom of God, the reign of God on earth, is breaking in. It is already here. And is yet to come. And in today's reading from Matthew, we hear Jesus say that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. 3 measures of flour, a whole bushel, and all of the flour was leavened by the yeast. And once it was in the dough, it could not be removed. Its working in the dough was irreversible. So it is, it seems, with the kingdom of God. Like the yeast and the flour, so the kingdom is in the world from the beginning and forever. Hidden, perhaps, in our experience, but present nonetheless. Present and revealed in the fullness of time in the life and ministry of Jesus. For it is in Jesus that we best understand what God and the kingdom of God are like. And so we can agree with Marcus Borg when he says that Jesus himself was an especially thin place, a place through which we can see the kingdom of God. Some thin places we actively seek, but others we encounter as if by chance. There is no map, no itinerary, no carefully laid plan or special training that will take us to the thin places. The Greek novelist Nikos Kazantzakis told a story that is often repeated about a monk who desired all his life to make a pilgrimage to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and the site, it is believed, of the tomb where Jesus was buried. To walk around it 3 times, to kneel, and to return home a new person. Through the years, he saved what money he could, and finally, near the end of his life, he had enough set aside to begin this trip. He opened the gates of the monastery, and with staff in hand, he set out in great anticipation for Jerusalem. No sooner had he left the cloister than he encountered a man in rags, a man sad and bent to the ground, picking herbs. The man asked, "Where are you going, Father?" And the monk answered, "To the Holy Sepulchre, my brother. By God's grace, I shall walk 3 times around it, kneel, and return home a different man from what I am." Then the poor man asked him, "How much money do you have, Father?" And the monk answered, 30 pounds. The beggar asked, "Give me the 30 pounds. I have a wife and hungry children. Give me the money. Walk 3 times around me. Then kneel and go back to the monastery." The monk thought for a moment, scratching the ground with his staff. Then he took the 30 pounds from his sack, and he gave all of it to the poor beggar. Then he walked 3 times around the man, knelt, and went back through the gates of the monastery, returning home a new person. For he had recognized that the beggar was Christ himself, not in some magical place far away, but right outside his monastery door, mysteriously close. And in abandoning his quest for the remote, the special, the somehow magical, he discovered a meaning far more profound in the ordinary experience close to home. May God grant us the wisdom and strength to remove the obstacles that prevent us from perceiving the presence of God and the breaking in of God's kingdom. May God awaken our hearts and our imaginations to the thin places that, like the leaven and the dough, are around and within us. And may God grant us the grace to begin to see holiness in places where it is often least expected, but where it is most surely to be found.